Shortly after I joined Dominican Home Health, I got a call from Dick Campbell. He was calling to congratulate me, and as we continued our conversation, I just felt this shift in intent. And he had shared that he was struggling a bit. He was trying to navigate the healthcare system, and he was really struggling with inviting someone into his home that he didn't know. He was looking for a little bit of respite care where he could just get 10 minutes to himself for a cup of coffee or to go into the office. COVID had been pretty hard on the family, and Dorothy wasn't doing well, but it was also taking a toll on him. He asked if I could help him find someone that he could bring into the home to care for Dorothy. He didn't know who to trust. Dick and Dorothy and I have been friends for a long time, and he felt safe asking. He was very clear that this was hard for him, and he knew that his wife wouldn't be able to share if they had a good experience or a bad experience. It is scary to know who to trust, who can I bring into the home and feel like we're safe. I shared with him that I was relatively new, but if he would allow me to walk alongside our nurse and the family so that I could learn along with him, that I would find the solution and we would be there to walk this journey with him. I hired specifically for this need because I had a staff that was fully engaged and they did not have the bandwidth to take this on. It took me a couple of months. Interestingly enough, I was at coffee with a donor. She was a retired nurse and she was just sharing her story, and I had been praying for God to bring someone to us to help Dick and Dorothy. And I was literally in the coffee shop with this woman and she's sharing her story. And I hear this voice that said, "She's the one." I didn't tell her that day, but I called her later to have a conversation to say, because she was a volunteer for us, would she consider taking this project on? So she started as a volunteer because Dick wanted to see if it would work, if he could actually leave Dorothy and if Dorothy felt safe. She did the most beautiful thing without any prompting. I shared a little bit about Dorothy, and when she came for their first visit, she brought a basket with all pre-measured ingredients for them to make a banana bread. And so she's at the door and Dorothy's like, "Oh, what are you doing here?" And she said, "Well, Dorothy, I thought we could do some baking." And Dorothy was just that person that would be like, "Okay, let's go do it." And Dick left and took a couple of hours for himself, went to the office. And when he got back, this nurse and Dorothy were sitting outside and Dick comes in and Dorothy says, "Meet my new friend. We've had a fabulous time." And it just set his heart at ease and gave him peace of mind. And we just kept moving forward with visits. But it was the end of November, 1st of December, and we were visiting with her 2 to 3 times a week. When it got to about January, February, our nurse was bringing to my attention that Dorothy was starting to experience pain and she was losing a little bit more weight and just not as engaged as she usually was. Our nurse was very much integrating faith, and they would pray divine mercy together. She would read the Magnificat. And whenever Dorothy would get distressed, our nurse was able to really just calm her through breathing techniques and different things like that, but also just by reading scripture brought her peace of mind. It was about the end of February when I suggested to Dick that we need to really investigate hospice care. And he was very resistant. Like all of us, we don't want to face what, for most of us, that means is an end of life. So he was very hesitant, very much, "Can we just stay with what we're doing? I like it. Dorothy likes your nurses. She feels safe. I feel safe." And I said, "We're at a different space now where she's in pain, and those are symptoms I can't manage for her through our care. So what if we spoke with Dr. Rastrelli and let him explain what this is?" It's a beautiful passage, and I think it will give you some comfort to hear his words. And so Dick and Jim and Dr. Rastrelli and I met and spent a couple of hours just having heart-to-heart about our faith journey and what is hospice care, how it changes from what we were providing, which was home health care. And I could see them embracing the opportunity. And as we searched for a Catholic hospice to carry this forward, we recognize there is not a true Catholic hospice opportunity here in Denver. So many mergers and acquisitions have occurred in the healthcare system, and providers, though they provide faith-based because the chaplain is there to meet your needs, whatever faith you belong to, there isn't a true Catholic hospice. She entered hospice care on a Friday, and we asked Dick if we could just continue to stop in. You know, Dorothy and Dick were dear and near to our hearts, and we just wanted to be part of this process. She was able to say goodbye to all her kids and grandkids and affirm them in her love for them. And then she slipped into a coma until her passing on Tuesday. She had a dignified and beautiful, peaceful death with her husband and her family surrounding her, which gave us so much gratitude. It was such an honor and just a beautiful journey to be part of. We were all at Dorothy's funeral, our nurses and staff that cared for her. Shortly thereafter, I had coffee with Dick, and, you know, he was absolutely grateful in so many ways for the journey they'd been able to experience and that they were home and that everyone was able to gather at the bedside as opposed to so many people who died alone, isolated, without the sacraments. We were blessed to bring our priest in to say Mass in the home and provide the sacraments and the anointing of the sick. We were able to minister to the family through our faith and just love on them. I think our biggest goal is for every patient to feel heard, seen, and loved. And we felt like we provided that for the Campbell family. In our conversation after the funeral, Dick was expressing his gratitude and just said, "Jean, this is such a big need in the community, and I didn't understand it till I lived through it myself. But everyone should be able to experience what we did through your services." We had a 5-year strategic plan, so shortly after she died, we had spoken to the next 5 years, and year 4 would be hospice. And then God just started shutting all the doors to home health care. And so we shifted our focus to hospice primarily because that was the direction God was leading us. There were so many miracles along the way. Not a month later, a dear friend of mine, you know, God just prompted me to call him, and his wife had been battling cancer, and I just checked in with him, and he said, "I can't believe the timing of your call, Jean, because we just got back from the doctor, and my wife has 6 months to live." So I just kept having these random conversations with people that were from out of the blue, that were unexpected on what I believe is a very sacred personal journey. And God just helping me see the need and the desire for this care, and every one of them recognizing how important it was, but not until they experienced it themselves. And then I was led to read this story about Sister Catherine Wyburn, where, you know, here she's a religious nun, cloistered, she's Benedictine, and she said, "I've never contemplated death until I'm now facing it, and I've been told by the doctors there's nothing medically more they can do for us." Just her embracing of all the sacraments and her outpouring of to live the Catholic faith is hard, but to die in the Catholic faith is just a beautiful experience. It's a very sacred journey, and we're honored to be alongside people. We, first and foremost, we ask for prayers. Prayers of the faithful are so important to us and keep us going. We're looking for volunteers, be it with patient care, be it with people in our office, providing meals, but companionship is paramount to us. We don't want people to die alone. We want to be there with them to the end. And then, of course, financial support coming alongside us with gifts, be it monthly, quarterly, annually. That is what sustains us and keeps us going. Because we've changed our whole focus from home health to hospice, we have a whole different set of needs to be successful. We're implementing a new accounting system, a new medical record system. We're doing training. We have an opportunity to have a full-time priest on staff, but we have to provide the salary for that. We are providing free care for our patients until we're Medicare and Medicaid certified as well as licensed with the state. And so we are fully staffed without any revenue streams coming in. So donations are incredibly important to us right now.